So is following Jesus worth it? Maybe I can ask it a different way. How much is it worth it? What is it worth to you? Over the last several weeks, we've been in this series we've been calling Seek Jesus. And we looked at the story of a Nazarene pastor in Meridian, Mississippi, in the middle of the civil rights movement, that he could not quit pastoring and caring and leave a place that he loves. Why? Because holiness kept him there. The possibility of God entering in and changing lives, even when he was unsupported, he just couldn't let go of it. And the story of Nicodemus and Zacchaeus, two people who had this holy curiosity about Jesus, that they sought him out in different ways, and yet both of them, when they found Jesus, found salvation. And there was Jairus coming to Jesus, the leader of a synagogue, asking Jesus to come and heal his daughter before she died. And on his way, there was a woman in the crowd that just thought, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed from my entire adult life being an outcast of society because of a medical illness. And then Jairus' daughter dies while they're on their way, and yet Jesus is like, death is not the end. She's just sleeping to me. And raises her from the dead. And then last week we looked at this story, probably one of my favorite stories in Scripture, about some friends who took a man on a mat who was paralyzed to Jesus. And when the crowd was in the way, a crowd full of curious people, but also grumbling, looking to criticize Jesus, religious leaders, they were like, this isn't enough just to get this close. So they took him up on a roof and pulled away or dug or took away tiles, whatever your translation says. They made a hole in a roof and lowered him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus sees their faith and then says to the man, because of their faith, I will forgive you of your sin. And that sometimes we are called to bring people along to Jesus, but in a loving, walking alongside of them, not just telling them about him, but living life in front of them kind of way. So these really incredible stories of this is what it looks like to seek Jesus. This is what it means to seek Jesus. And there could be healing, and then there's revelation, and there's understanding, and there's community and companionship. But I have to be honest, there's a cost. I don't think it's fair to have a series about seeking Jesus and all the wonderful things that happen from seeking Jesus without also saying that there's a cost. And Jesus is pretty clear on that. Because it's not all about health, it's not all about wealth, it's not all about prosperity. There's a difference in the way in which we live, and sometimes to the outside world that may seem like a difficult thing. It may seem like a cost. And so today we're going to be looking at three different scriptures in the Gospels where Jesus lays out, if you seek me, there is a cost. So we're going to be in Matthew 8, 18 through 22 at first. So when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of the religious law said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." And then another of his disciples said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me now and let the dead bury their own." What thoughts come to mind when you hear Jesus saying those words? I mean, Jesus had these eager followers saying, so a teacher of the law, to some this would be betrayal. Because some teachers of the law were like, no way. This Jesus guy, we got to figure out how to get him out. But there's a teacher of the law coming to Jesus and be like, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus was like, yeah, but I don't have a place to lay my head. Curious response. Another just wants to, you know, bury his father. And Jesus is like, no, follow me now. Let the dead bury their own. Man, Jesus seems like a hard guy. But here's what's happening. The teacher of the law would have been somebody that had a house and relative comfort, an income that was more than taking care of what he needed. And Jesus was warning him, I want to let you know that if you follow me, I don't even have a place to lay my head, so you might have to step out of the comfort of your life. The comfort of your full-blown, like, 9-to-5, nice house, everything you need, kind of, you know, can go out to eat every night if you choose to because cooking is just too much work, or, you know, whatever you feel like that those comforts are. Jesus was like, I didn't even have a place to lay my head. That's what it could mean for you to follow me. And then when another of his disciples came and said, Lord, let me first, I mean, Jesus isn't like, I don't care about your family going through a grieving process. No, it was very common in that time to say, well, let me bury my parents, let me bury my father, because that was the honorable thing to do in that culture, and likely, we are talking potentially years before this person follows Jesus. First, let me take care of my familial matters. First, let me take care of, you know, burying my father whenever he passes away and receiving my inheritance, and then it's at that point in time that I will follow you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, it doesn't work that way. If you're going to follow me, then you just follow me now. You have to follow me more and have more desire in following me than you do even taking care of your familial matters. And that's how strong the call is to follow. And not only that, just like the teacher of the law, it would have set him up with an inheritance. It would have set him up in comfort. So once again, it's like, this would mean this man throwing away his inheritance because his parents would be like, you're no longer receiving it if you're not sticking around. I mean, obviously this person had a desire to care for his family, but he also got a benefit from it. So once again, Jesus' call to follow is, well, here's the cost. You may not have the comforts of this world. Here's the cost. You may not have the comfort of economic success or stability, at least by worldly standards. And then in the Gospel of Mark, we get into a little bit more like detailed and upfront story in Mark 10, 17 through 27. This is what it says. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus has a curious response. Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone, and honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell your possession. Give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possession. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." And this amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. And Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible." And so you have this person once again coming up to Jesus and be like, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? I have this desire, I have this want to inherit it." And Jesus is like, "Okay, all right. Like, so you followed all these commandments. You followed, you know, you checked all the boxes of the lists and the laws and everything." And the guy's like, "Yeah, I've done that. Like, ever since I was young." And Jesus is like, "Well, that's not enough to just check the box. It's not enough to just, I'll do this good thing and this good thing and this good thing and this good thing and this good thing." Jesus is like, "Because there's some, that was almost easy for you. There's one thing that you're holding on to that would keep you from inheriting eternal life." It says Jesus had a genuine love for this person. He looked at him and knew exactly what it would be that would keep him, and it was, put a lot of trust in your possession. You put a lot of trust in your riches. You'll only be free from that if you let them go. You'll only be free from that if you let them go. You see, there's a cost. There's a cost to seeking Jesus and saying, "I want to follow you, I want to do this, and I've done all these different things." And there's a danger to asking, "What else must I do?" So is following Jesus worth it? What is it worth to you? Jesus' call here is pretty clear. You're going to have to give up. You're going to have to trust if you're going to follow me. The things that you put your trust and hope in now are not the things that will take you into the abundant life that I'm calling you to. And this is all while Jesus is still preaching amongst all of these calls of this cost of following him, that my burden is easy and my yoke is light. This way in which I'm calling you to live is a lot easier than the pressures that the world is going to put on you. And then we have Luke 14, 25 through 33. And this is an interesting one because the language that Jesus has used, and I want to preface this by saying, you've never heard this before, it's usually a fairly jarring passage. But Jesus here is trying to make a point. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everything else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. Then would say, 'This person who started that building couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could beat the 20,000 soldiers marching against them? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own." Is following Jesus worth it? What Jesus is trying to make clear here is that there is one way, there is one truth, and there is one life. And that is through me. And if you're going to seek me, if you're going to come after me, if you want to follow me, if you want to walk in my footsteps and live the life that I would love to be able to offer you, then there are things in this world that you are going to have to give up. There's a cost to this. And you have to trust in me and love me so much that by comparison, everything else seems like hate. Now, he's not saying to actually hate everyone. Literally, like, antithetical to the person of Jesus. But he's getting their attention to say that by comparison, ultimately, when you're following me, if you want to be able to truly rest in Jesus and trust him, then when the worries of the world come, it's going to be hard for you not to be anxious about them. And not worry and just put them at his feet, because that's how much you trust him. That when calamity strikes, it's going to be hard for you to actually rest in the peace that he's extending. Why? Because your trust is split. That we have a contingency plan of like, well, if God doesn't come through with me here, I'm piling away my 401k over here. I'm not saying don't plan for retirement. You definitely should. But I have this safety net just in case God doesn't come through. I have this backup plan just in case God doesn't come through. And Jesus is like, you'll always trust in that before you fall in your trust with me. It's an all-in kind of relationship. You want to be my disciple by comparison. The immense love that you have for your family, for your children, for your spouse, for your brothers and sisters, for your friends, it shouldn't even compare. And if you don't carry your own cross, your struggles, your willingness to die to self daily, then it's going to be hard for you to be my disciple. So don't begin until you count the cost. This is actually a teaching of like of compassion, believe it or not, which seems odd. He says, "If count the cost before you begin your journey with me. Because if you're only going to follow me from here to here and not here, then everybody's going to be like, well, they're fake. Well, they weren't real. Well, they were dumb. Like, why do they do that?" But he's saying up front, count the cost. He's saying honestly up front, this is what it's going to mean. The cost of following me is trusting completely. Because if you don't, you won't make it. That without trust in me, this life is too hard for you to accomplish on your own. The life of unconditional love and grace and mercy and acceptance and welcoming, of forgiveness, of compassion, of long-suffering, of prayer, and the messiness of community, all of it is going to be impossible unless you completely trust me, Jesus says. It's a life full of abundance. It's a life that's better than you'll ever be able to experience anyone else, but there is a cost. So is it worth it to follow Jesus? What is it worth to you? And even with these teachings, I mean, all the previous promises of seeking Jesus are true. I mean, you'll find healing, you'll find revelation, you'll find understanding, you'll find welcoming, you'll find community. But Jesus is just like, you're not going to be able to access all of it unless you completely trust me. That's the cost. And that could result in some familial tension. I mean, Jesus' own family thought he was crazy. It could mean that, like, well, like, I'm not going to kind of follow through with the family business because following Jesus is calling me over here. It could mean giving up some of our regular comforts of life. Why? Because it is a life full of simplicity and generosity. And it isn't the dollar that wins. There's this book called You Are What You Love by James K.A. Smith. And in this book, he lays out what he believes is the most important question that Jesus ever asked. He asked it a couple different times. And one of the most important questions that followers of Jesus has to ask themselves. And it's not what do you know? It's not what do you believe? It's not what do you think? It's not what are you willing to do? It's what do you want? What do you want? What is your desire? Because Jesus is calling us to be disciples because to seek Jesus is to expect an invitation to discipleship, to following him, to being his disciple. And so as we are seeking Jesus, we have to come to terms with the question, what do you actually want? Is following me worth it? Jesus asked. Count the cost. And truly, count the cost. If you're not willing to pay the cost, Jesus is like, don't do it. And I don't want to say that's fine, but Jesus is going to be like, I'll love you anyway. I'll be here. Open arms. On the other side of the door, just waiting for you to open it, but Jesus is giving this truthful upfront warning, count the cost. Are you prepared for it? So what do you want? What is your desire? Because if it isn't, I want to follow Jesus and do what he calls me to do. That I want Jesus to transform every part of me, and I know it's going to be a process, it's going to be a journey, it's not going to be in a moment kind of thing, but that's what I want. And Jesus says, this will be the best life you'll ever have. It'll be abundant. It'll be full. It'll be complete. I mean, these are pretty big promises. It doesn't mean there won't be hardship. It doesn't mean there won't be struggles. It doesn't mean there won't be grief. But it'll be the best life that you could ever have. Was it worth it? Following Jesus? Is it worth it to you? I'm going to have Reagan come back up. And we're just going to sing another song, or we're just going to repeat a song that we sung. I just want us to reflect on this. Just reflect on your life with God. You could reflect on the question, how is your soul with the Lord? We've talked about that the past couple weeks. How is your life with God? And the thing is that Jesus is super honest with us. And he's super honest because he doesn't want us to get into this relationship with him and then us feel like, you've bait and switched me. And so maybe you're hearing something like this for the first time. I hope not, but it's a possibility. That there's this cost to following Jesus that it isn't just a completely smooth sailing life that doesn't cost you anything. And if that is the case, if you're like, this is new information to me, then I'm sorry. I truly am. Not for you. Just sorry that maybe you're like, whoa, this is way more than what I signed up for. This is way more for what I signed up for. And the thing is that you get to also sit in community and count the cost among the community. This isn't, oh, well, I don't think I'm gonna do this, or I have to really think about it, so I'm just gonna separate myself from a church, or I'm gonna separate myself. No. I feel like we're kind of continually counting the cost. We have to continue to count the cost and say, yep, yes, 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 yes. Because quite frankly, I couldn't count the cost of what it would be to say that I have to love Jesus more than my daughter before I had a daughter. You don't understand a love that you have for a child until you have a child. Or you don't know if you have a significant other. You don't know that kind of love until you've actually had it. And it's just like, wait a second. I have to love Jesus more than this. We're continually counting the cost. We always have to ask the question, is following Jesus worth it? Is following Jesus worth it? Is it worth it to us? And it might seem like a dangerous question for us to ask all the time, because maybe the answer sometimes is, I don't know if it is. Even if you've been following him for a long time, maybe the cost has just become too much. It's a lot better to wrestle with that question than just be asleep to it. Be asleep to the life that God wants to do in you. Be asleep to the kind of life that he wants to offer you that we cannot even imagine for ourselves. So what do you want? What does your heart desire?
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful.
Yes.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other.
Amen.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Amen.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Sing it out.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Thank you, God, yes.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. So my life you have been faithful.
Yes, he has.
And all my life you have
have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes. And all my life you have been faithful. Yes, you have, Lord. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Sing this with me one more time. All my life. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Sing to him. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen.
Let's pray. God, we want to create a space in which we can figure out what our wants and our hearts and our desire is. God, you lay it out pretty clear, but you also say it's not an easy thing. I mean, you have to count the cost. You have to know what you're getting into. God, I would ask that this hard teaching that you give us is not something that'll push us away, but something that will help us to lean in closer. And if something costs this much love and trust, then what is possible because of it? But there's not a lot that calls us to this amount of trust in our life. But there's also not a lot that promises everything that you promised. God, help us to trust in you. Whether or not we feel like we're far in our journey and we need to continue to deepen our trust, or maybe we feel like we're towards the beginning of a journey, or maybe we're still trying to decide if we're going to start this journey with you, God, speak to us. Help us to trust you so that we can just catch a glimpse of the life that you are wanting to grow within us, and the fruit of our lives that you are wanting to produce. Lord, we are grateful for your scripture. We are grateful that you do not try to bait and switch us. You do not try to pull us in just to change the terms. You're up front with us. You're honest. And so God, help us to continue to follow you. Help us to follow you. Help us to trust you. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen.